Okay, before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're in the Sparkly Book, it's page 303, the second full paragraph. It begins, "This is the miracle of creation." If you're in the second edition, it's page 259, paragraph 5. And if you're in the first edition, it's page 241, third full paragraph. Okay, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Okay. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. So, we're getting down to simplicity, as we talked about last week. The simplicity of the two-step. In other words, when a response is called for, when life unfolds and interaction is appropriate, instead of jumping to the conclusion that you know exactly how to respond with your experience with this individual, or your life experience, or your education, you know exactly what is called for. The two-step is, the first step of the two-step is to step back and ask God, what's appropriate here? What is called for here? What is going to uncover the maximal good available from this situation, circumstance, or dynamic? And then listen before you respond. Well, so much for all your education. So much for all of your study. The two-step requires you to wing it. The two-step requires, life requires you to be willing to stand at the edge of the unknown without any assumptions that you know all that you need to know, and an invitation in the form of an inquiry to know more than you presently know. Now, there was a point at which there were 10 commandments that were given. Moses listened and heard and shared. He did the two-step. And he came back down off the mountain. And everyone was off the beam. He had been gone for a while, and they had forgotten their purpose. And what happened? The situation called for something, and this time he didn't do the two-step. He got angry, and he threw down the tablets, and they broke. And the upshot of it was that he had to say, okay, God, I'm going to do the two-step again. And he went back up the mountain and listened. Now, at that time, what was needed was a shift of consciousness in which the singularity of God, the oneness of God, needed to register in human awareness, in human consciousness. Because at that point there were many gods. And that's why the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not bow down to golden calves or whatever gods you might make up. There is one God. And the commandments that were given were rules for behavior for those who had forgotten how to love, for those who had forgotten that love was their function, for those who had forgotten that love for their neighbor was their function. The Ten Commandments were not and are not sufficient to cause anyone to wake up. But they are sufficient to bring one into a degree of alignment in their consciousness where their attention isn't divided. It prepared everyone for my presence, in which I gave two commandments. And these two commandments were another form of the two-step we've been talking about. The first commandment, in so many words, was, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. In other words, let this one God, which you're no longer having difficulty approaching without the distraction of many other gods. In the present day, that is not a mindset that most anyone is having to deal with. So, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, with your whole being. That's like doing the first step of the two-step. Father, what do I need to know here? It's more important to me to take this opportunity to listen for the truth that will heal and transform and bless everyone in this moment than it is to rely upon my expensive education and all of the hours of work I went to get excellent grades so that I might gain great respect in my field. It's more important to me to listen to you than it is to lean upon any of these other distractions. What do I need to know? To bless my brother, to bless the situation, and so on. The second commandment I gave you was to love your brother as yourself. Why only two commandments? Because this is all it takes to wake up. This is all it takes to get back into your right mind, to get back into the conscious experience of the kingdom of heaven that you're in the middle of, but not recognizing, because you're so much more enamored of who you think you are and the skills you think you have and the reasoning capacities you have honed and developed to a fine point so that you can be an effective presence in the world. In other words, the Ten Commandments brought human awareness to the point of acknowledging that there's only one God and that man must obey the laws of this one God. The two commandments that I gave say, this one God is all there is. And there is no independent you to be obedient to God, because you, in your right mind, are the movement of God expressing Himself. And the way for you to wake up into your conscious awareness of that, your conscious experience of it, which is the definition of heaven, the meaning of heaven, is to abandon the belief that you have that you are an independent entity set into place by God, but given total freedom to have your own will and function entirely independent of God, and ultimately make your dad proud of you by your independent accomplishments. That's the mindset that is being undone today. Multiple gods is not the mindset being undone now, but it was when Moses gave the Ten Commandments. Now, let's go into the book. This is the miracle of creation, that it is one forever. Its oneness cannot be altered. Your belief that you have altered it or that it has been altered is not true and never was. In other words, the miracle of creation is that it has never become what it is not. It is what it is. It is one forever. Every miracle you offer to the Son of God is but the true perception of one aspect of the whole. What is a miracle? A sudden shift of perception. A sudden shift of perception that constitutes an aha. A surprise, an awareness of truth, not just a different point of view. An awareness of truth in which God is more clearly recognized, where you hadn't seen God before. In your brother, in some aspect of your life. And every miracle you offer to the Son of God is but the true perception of one aspect of the whole. When you take the time to step back and ask God what needs to be known here relative to something going on with you and your brother, you are expressing a willingness and a desire to see more there where your brother is than your educated thinking sees, more than your experience, your past experience with him convinces you is there. You're asking to experience more than any of your past experience can disclose to you. And when that is disclosed to you and transformation occurs, you have seen something about that brother that is awesome and transforms you and transforms him. But you haven't yet seen it about your cousin or your other sister or Joe down the street or your president or your governor. But you have seen it for one aspect of the whole. And that is valuable. That is not insignificant. That transformation in you and your brother does indeed bless everyone, even if you have yet to see that the aha you've had about this brother is as impactful and real and true about everyone else you know and everyone you don't yet know. Though every aspect is not just whole, but the whole, you cannot know this until you see that every aspect is the same, perceived in the same light, and therefore one. Well, if it is all these things, everything is simple, uncomplicated. But for some of you, it's very important for things to be complicated because your job is to make the complicated uncomplicated. You get your kicks, you get your high, you get your praise. You get your self-recognition from rendering the complicated simple. To uncover the simplicity of being that exists without your making the complicated simple leaves you out of the loop of ego satisfaction and self-pride. And although it will bless you and it will bless everyone else, you are reluctant to do things you won't get credit for. Now, everyone, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children, your neighbor, your acquaintances, everyone, seen without the past that you bring into play from your mind. Everyone seen without the past thus brings you nearer to the end of time. By bringing healed and healing sight into the darkness and enabling the world to see. Now, we've talked for the last couple of weeks about getting your hands dirty, not staying uninvolved, not determining that success means never to be confronted by need. The Holy Spirit corrects your belief and your confidence in time by coming to you where you think you are in time and speaks to you of what? Not how idiotic you are, not how immature and ignorant you are, but talks to you about timelessness. Talks about that which specifically corrects what you're suffering from. In so many words, the Holy Spirit gets his hands dirty, gets involved with you in the correction of ignorance by bringing about a sudden shift of perception caused by illuminating truth or reality that you had been misperceiving as you were looking at it. Everyone seen without the past thus brings you nearer to the end of time. everyone you see without bringing the past into play brings you nearer to the end of time by bringing what? Sudden shift of perceptions into play in your involvement, by bringing healed and healing sight into the darkness, as the Holy Spirit does, bringing timelessness into your belief in time and walking you out of your ignorance about what? Timelessness. Everyone seen without the past thus brings you nearer to the end of time by bringing healed and healing sight into the darkness and enabling the world to see. For light must come into the darkened world. You aren't going to flash out of the darkened world. You're not going to rise above the darkened world and leave all the darkness down there untouched and unforgiven, unhealed. Light must come into the darkened world to make Christ's vision possible, even here, in the dark, in what's being experienced as dark. Help him, me, the Christ, to give his gift of light to all who think they wander in the darkness. And let him, me, gather them into his quiet sight that makes them one. How do you do that? By doing the two-step. You help me give my gift of light to all who think they wander in the darkness by stopping in your automatic responses and devaluing them enough to say, entirely apart from, entirely separate and apart from my best judgments and my best experience and my education. What do I need to know here? What is the truth that will illuminate the fact that the ignorance is ignorant and meaningless, and therefore it can be let go of without guilt? And a sudden shift of perception can be had by all. That's how. Help me to give my gift of light to all who think they wander in the darkness, and let me gather them into my quiet sight that makes them one. Now, it's very important for you to understand that when you are doing this for your brother, you are including yourself in my embrace. The sudden shift of perception that reveals your function as love and illuminates your divine presence to you blesses you. It sounds great to hear that you should love your father with all your heart and soul and mind. What makes it great is that you can do that in the privacy of your home. You can do it when you're alone in the car. You can even do it in the middle of a crowd of people without anybody knowing it. But that in itself won't cause you to awaken. Because you can't go unto the Father without bringing your fellow man with you. Why? Because even if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, if you're not able to see God in your brother, you haven't seen God yet. This is the simplicity of it. It's so simple that most of you think it's hard, because you have to give up everything that has meant something to you for so little. All your brothers and sisters, everyone, they are all the same. No matter how much they piss you off, no matter how well you think you know them, no matter how justified you believe you are in withholding your trust and your love from them, no matter how reasonable it is to you not to take time on behalf of your brother, with your brother, they are all the same. All beautiful and equal in their holiness. And I, when you bring them to me, will offer them unto my Father. It says here, and he will offer them unto his Father as they were offered unto him. In other words, as you have offered them unto me, I will offer them unto the Father. You need to all pay attention to the severity with which you judge your brothers and sisters. And the determination you bring into play to withhold your love from them. And you must be willing to shift your attention from what it is about them that justifies your withholding your love from them to taking a look at yourself to find out why you're justifying using your mind in a way that is destructive to your capacity to be the healing presence of love. It is so important to so many of you to be able to express your honesty and vent your anger and get it expressed fully so that you may let it go, so that you might experience a catharsis. Well, all of you have held grudges for long periods of time, so that you know that having the right to express yourself and your feelings truly doesn't mean instantaneous release and a capacity to move forward with love. You need to be willing to look at how many times during the day you actually avoid being involved with others for whatever justifications exist in your mind. It seems so reasonable to you. But all the time your attention is out there on them, you are ignoring the use to which you're putting your mind that constitutes your being ill, that constitutes your being not in your right mind, and as a result, not in a position to do the two-step. it puts you in the position of needing to be governed by the Ten Commandments instead of being released by the two. There is one miracle, as there is one reality. And every miracle you do contains them all, as every aspect of reality you see blends quietly into the one reality of God. Now, there is a way you do have of comprehending at an experiential level what this means. And that is that if you have had an occasion to see a hologram, a piece of film where you can see a holographic image when it is held in particular laser light, you can see a 3D image. If you cut a little tiny corner or any little tiny square out of the whole piece of film and look at that in the same laser light, you will find that every aspect of the large picture is still present in the small picture. You don't just have a corner of what was in the big picture. You have the whole picture in that little tiny piece. Every miracle you do, every sudden shift of perception that you allow yourself to have that transforms you and your brother, contains them all, contains the meaning of all miracles. As every aspect of reality you see blends quietly into the one reality of God. The only miracle that ever was is God's most holy Son, you and your brothers and sisters, created in the one reality that is His Father. The source of you is your Father. God being all is God being all there is of you. God is not being you as something separate. God being Himself is what is present where you are. And what that means will become available to you as a conscious experience when you're willing to abandon the belief you have that you are separate, solitary, isolated, and different from every other aspect of creation, as well as God. And that's the purpose of this two-step that we're talking about, is to come back into this conscious experience of what you really are and what reality is. And where's it going to happen? It's going to happen in the dark. Where's it going to happen? It's going to happen in space and time. Because in space and time, you're going to learn of timelessness and indivisibility and light. Christ's vision, you remember my vision, the vision that is my gift to you from God, Christ's vision, my vision, is His gift to you, is my gift to you. My being, I'll read it as it says it here, Christ's vision is His gift to you. His being is his Father's gift to him. In other words, my vision is my gift to you. My being is my Father's gift to me. Now, what could my vision possibly be that I would give to you, except that your being is your Father's gift to you, just as it is with me? You want to know what that means. You want to experience what that means. And that's what this two-step is for. And because it's a two-step, it's a simplicity. But what makes it hard is the dedication you bring to your judgments about each other, and your unwillingness to abandon your judgments about your brother, so that you might actually open up the door of willingness to say, Father, what's the more of what you're being right here where I see? This one that is so hard for me to be willing to think well of. Depending about how stubbornly you are holding on to your definitions and your beliefs of everything will be the strenuousness that you encounter in having to release them. If you are strongly determined, then you will have to bring much energy and attention to how you're using your mind so that you can determine within you that you're going to stop employing your mind in that way. And you will find that you will have to come to this determination while you are feeling all of the justification that you have always felt about why it's unreasonable to love this brother or this sister, or to extend yourself any further than you already have. Be you content with healing. What is healing? It's what happens when a sudden shift of perception occurs. And a sudden shift of perception always occurs when you've been willing to let go of control and you haven't been defended against spontaneous realization. So healing is something that happens because you got out of the way, not because you did something with great skill. Be you content with that. Be content with so little. Be you content with healing. For Christ's gift you can bestow, and your Father's gift you cannot lose. See, here we are. The two-step, the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with your whole being and your brother as yourself. Be you content with healing. For Christ's gift, which is the one of extending willingness relative to your brother to experience a sudden shift of perception, that you can do. And your Father's gift of his being you, of your deriving your being from him, you can't lose that, and that's part of the gift that becomes uncovered for your brother as well. So So be satisfied. Be you content with so little. With healing. For Christ's gift you can bestow, and your Father's gift you cannot lose. Offer Christ's gift to everyone and everywhere. For miracles offered the Son of God through the Holy Spirit, what? Attune you to reality. Bring you into harmony with it. Why? Because you're not so damned adamant that you're going to do everything your way and that you're going to say to your Father, but Father, I'd rather give the meanings. I'd rather give the definitions. I'd rather be the determiner. And that's what I'm going to be. Period. Offer Christ's gift to everyone and everywhere. What is Christ's gift? What is my gift? It's my vision. Wish to see everything through my vision, which is my gift to you from God. Be you content with healing, for Christ's gift, my gift, you can bestow, and your Father's gift you cannot lose. Offer my gift to everyone and everywhere. Be willing to see God in everyone and everything. For miracles offered the Son of God through the Holy Spirit attune you to reality. Miracles offered the Son of God by engaging in the two-step attunes you to reality. The Holy Spirit knows your part in the redemption and who are seeking you and where to find them. The Holy Spirit knows this. There's always divine order to everything. And the minute you choose to let your function be to extend my gift, you will begin to find those who are seeking you showing up. And you will know where to find them. You will be there. Not through skill. Not through expertise, not through anything you can give yourself credit for, but it will happen, and you will say, wow, I never could have planned that in a million years. This is awesome. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit knows your part in the redemption and who are seeking you and where to find them. Listen to this. Knowledge is far beyond your individual concern. What's the name of this chapter? From Perception to Knowledge. Oh, but knowledge is far beyond your individual concern. Don't concern yourself with knowledge. It's what you will find yourself experiencing when you let go of control, and when you do the two-step, you will find yourself knowing what God would have you know. And what God would have you know is the truth that releases you and your brother from ignorances about time and space, about sin, sickness, and death. Knowledge is far beyond your individual concern. So knowledge and the gaining of it is not what this is about. You who are part of it, knowledge, and all of it, you who are part of it and all of it, need only realize that it is of the Father, not of you. Wow, you say. You mean that we've been reading all of this knowledge, all of this complicated truth. For how many years have we been reading just to get to page 304? And knowledge is far beyond my individual concern? What in the hell has this all been about, if it wasn't about knowledge? You just don't know how to be grateful, do you? Everything has been simplified for you here. Let out a sigh of relief. Everything we have read has led to the point where this could be understood tonight. Or so that you could be understood when you arrived at this part of the book. Knowledge is far beyond your individual concern. You who are part of it, and all of it, need only realize that it is of the Father, not of you. Thank God for the two-step, huh? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Well, if knowledge is of the Father, not of you, as an independent entity, then how important God is to you, and how appropriate it is for you to love Him with all of your being, and to find that to be of extreme, ultimate value as you walk in the dark through your day, thinking you're in time when the Holy Spirit would speak to you of timelessness, where the kingdom of heaven is unilluminated to you but awaits its illumination so that you might be free of your ignorance. You who are part of it and all of it need only realize that it is of the Father, not of you. It's of the Father, and therefore all about you, but you're not the authorizer or the originator or the enactor of it. Your role, listen to this, your role in the redemption leads you to it by reestablishing its oneness in your minds. It doesn't say your role in the redemption leads you to great works. It doesn't say that it leads you to high positions, where you might sit at the right hand of God while other brothers don't, or while others don't for a while because they haven't quite gotten it yet, and so you can enjoy the satisfaction of having gotten there early. Your role in the redemption leads you to it, knowledge, by reestablishing its oneness in your minds. How does knowledge get reestablished in your mind? By your doing the two-step, by your saying, Father, what do I need to know here? Father, what is the truth here? No matter what I've thought of my brother, he's worth my taking the time, what? To help him? No, he's worth my taking the time to check in with you, Father, so that I might be filled with the conscious experience of truth that's so glorious that I can't help but share it with my brother, and the joy of it bless him as I let it bless me by letting it through. Knowledge gets re-established in you when you abandon self-will and let yourself be in the peace that lies underneath all of the busyness of self-will. Your brother is your savior, because the only way you're going to experience God directly is when your brother is worth enough to you for you to approach God and let God in and through. Thus, love the Lord thy God with all of your being, and your brother as yourself. Now, tonight I'm not going to even go into loving yourself. I will simply say that when you're willing to notice the use to which you're putting your minds, and you're willing to call a stop to misuse that you're putting your mind to, even though it gives you great satisfaction to indulge in it, because you've got to express yourself honestly, I'm sorry, this is me, Paul, I lost it. The simple point is that your brother must be the reason you turn to God to let God in. Not so that you can be relieved of the distress your brother is creating for you, not for your benefit, but turning to the Father for your brother's benefit, because you refuse any longer to misuse your mind by insisting upon indulging in judgment and hate. I'm going to tell you something. Every time you look at a brother, no matter what you think about him, you are bringing that to me. When you bring the truth about your brother to me, I can pass it on to my Father, and everyone is blessed. But when you bring the untruth to me, there is nothing I can do. There is nothing for me to do. I cannot pass that on to the Father as though it were true of your brother, because I can't pass it on to our Father, because it would misrepresent you as well. Oh, look at Joe. He's really confused today, isn't he, Father? I cannot join you in the misuse that you're putting your mind to. So remember, no matter what you're thinking about your brother, you're lifting that up to me to pass on to the Father. And if it is a poor use of your mind, you are presenting for us, myself and the Father, a misperception of your brother, as well as a characterization of yourself that doesn't represent you truly. So, as I've said before, you're always going to be thinking something about everyone. You're never in neutral. So remember the two-step. Before you lift anything up to me, step back and ask, what is the truth here that I might lift up to you, that you may lift on to the Father. It's simple, but is it going to be worth actually doing it this evening, tomorrow, the next day? It's the key. Just remember that no matter how justified you feel in not extending love, but rather grousing about and being frustrated by and angry about your brother, you need to notice the use you're putting your mind to, and you need to put a stop to it. And that may take some effort. You may have to take a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, before you can get yourself out of it and be released from it. Decide for yourself whether you're going to be sick or not, whether you're going to be out of your right mind and justifying it or not, and then decide not to. And do it by means of the two-step. I'm getting repetitious. It's a simple point that seems hard to get. Find a way to appreciate and enjoy and bask in the simplicity here. There is no need to spend several thousand more years in the realm of the Ten Commandments. Okay. I look forward to being with you next week. And I love to watch you as sudden shifts of perception occur, no matter how tiny they are.